looking at God's leading. So some of the questions that I know I ask myself and other people is, did God lead me or did I make a mistake? What was the open, was that an open door from God or was it my own doing? What does God sometimes seem so clear, speak so clearly in one season and yet seems to be quiet in another? And if we're honest, most of us have probably asked that question. And sometimes we can look back and we can clearly see what God has done and how he's led. And sometimes it's not till ages. And then you look back and you go, oh, now I can see you're leading through there. So this morning, we're going to hear some stories, some testimonies of how God has led people into things. Okay, so as we listen this morning, and there will be a chance for you to talk to each other as well, as we listen this morning, I'd really encourage you to just be listening and thinking, where have you seen God lead? Where are you still waiting for direction? And what do you think God is saying to you in this season? Because we all go through different seasons. So first, let's pray for the morning. Father, we give you this morning's worship. May your name be glorified. Open our ears to hear what you're saying to us, both as individuals and as a church this morning. Amen. Harry's just going to read us some scripture verses.
Today's readings, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Okay, so our first person is Jamie. So if Jamie could come up, that would be great. And not step on your wife's foot, that would be really helpful. Thank you, Jamie. For those that don't know that joke, Jamie actually stood on Janet's foot yesterday at the steam train. Now, Janet has just had a foot operation. And so, yes, we're all not going to let him live that down for quite a while. Don't you just love us? All right. All right. So, Jamie, you haven't been involved in the church for your whole life. You accepted Jesus. You started attending church. But what made you move from sitting in the seats to being in ministry?
The move, it's right that I wasn't involved in church closely. I went to Sunday school, not every Sunday, because we lived on a farm out in the country and there was no church near us. It meant travel. But I went to RI at school. We had RI at school, that sort of thing. So I did have a founding in Christian life. But you are saying what made me make the step? That's very hard to say. I like to think that it was God pushing me. Those quotes that Max not Max, that Harry just read out, a soul true. In my case, I was given these questions before we started yesterday, and I've been reading and praying about them. But what Max read there is really what it's about. God leads you. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how I got here, but he got me here. That's what it boils down to.
Excellent. So you've been a deacon, a treasurer, and now an elder. Have you ever thought that you would do those roles?
I would never have thought I was going to do them 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But when I wasn't going to church, but now, being a deacon, I was first a deacon at Coral Coast for a short time before we moved back to Brisbane, back here. But being a deacon wasn't a big step. Being a deacon was, you go to a meeting and you express your opinion, you do some work around the church, you collect the offering. There's nothing major in that at all. That's just being a good Christian. But being a treasurer means a bit more responsibility, a bit more knowledge and a bit more skill. And I don't know why I did it when I first came here. I think it must have been in the first few months we were here. Will Spann got up and said, our treasurer's leaving, we need a new treasurer. And something moved me to say, I'll do it. I had no skill. I had a little bit of skill from school, running an account with the business manager in the school. But apart from that, I didn't have anything to do with accountancy or anything. And it was a big step. Being an elder, I refused to be an elder a couple of times. David asked me at least once, I think it was twice. And the third time, just something said to me, you've got to say yes. It's time. Get on with it. And that was the Lord speaking to me.
So I think you've answered this, but how did God lead you to these? Basically, you were just saying, God just went, do it.
Yes, that was it. And it was just, you had to respond. You had to say, yes, go ahead. And it's a bit,
I'm going to just give you a side question. Sorry about
that's
this.
That's all right.
What were some of the excuses that you were making to yourself to say no?
I don't think I ever said no to being a deacon. I don't think I ever said no to being the treasurer, because it was just like the snap of a finger. You're it. But to be an elder, I didn't think I was spiritual enough. I didn't think I knew enough about God. I didn't think I knew or have the knowledge or the skill. And David had asked me, as I said, a few times, at least twice, and I could see the situation in the church and they needed. And God just said, I'll be with you.
Was it a loud, I'll be with you, or a...
No, it was just in my mind. The confidence was there. Doesn't matter. Your worries don't matter. Get on with it. And it was just in my mind. It wasn't any clap of thunder or anything like that. Nothing like that at all.
Excellent. And what's one point you've learned about following God's leading during these times?
Trust him. Simply trust him. He will get you there. Most of the people here, or a lot of the people here, know what this church went through. When I became an elder, we were going on a trip to New Zealand. We were getting on the boat, and I got a text message to say the pastor's resigned. I talked to Graham, I think it was, and we sorted out something to paddle through until we got back, and then the three of us met and we trusted God, we prayed, we put everything before him, and he came through. So it's you've got to trust him. That's all there is to it.
Excellent. Now, before we let you go, we did sort of con you up here for a minute. Dave actually wants to, in Dave's limited words, he actually wants to use them to say something.
Yeah, we conned you. I just wanted to acknowledge Jamie for what he does in the church. I think we're all aware that Jamie does a lot, but I think we're aware or not aware of what Jamie does. We get phone calls for welfare, and I don't answer those because I don't want to be here in the office waiting so people can come and say, I'm here, give me money now. So we've got to step in. So everybody rings for welfare, it goes to Jamie. And then Jamie organises and comes and helps those people. Whenever there's something broken in the church, it's often Jamie who's here. When we need to do constitution, because we all enjoy that, Jamie's here. Jamie, I wanted to acknowledge Jamie, not because he's the only person that does anything, but because he does so much. And I knew that he would be too embarrassed and awkward to get up on his own, so we conned him. We want to thank Janet for giving him the freedom usually to do that. Is that what standing orders are? So I just wanted to acknowledge Jamie and say thank you, Jamie, because what you do is seen, and we're really grateful for all that you give to us as a church, and we wanted to say thank you for that.
I just got the eye. Is that all? Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, and we'll sort out the chairs later. All right, the next person is Michael. Where are you? Oh, hiding. Get out. Now, I didn't get to hear Michael on Sunday, but I got told that he was really good. So our expectations are really high. No, I've had the joy of just hearing Michael a couple of times and his story, and it really is quite amazing. It is amazing. All right. So, firstly, yes. So we can quickly get to know you, tell us two things about you that will help us understand what you're about to share with us.
Okay, so there's 2.5 things. So for me, I still, actually I'm getting more used to it, but public speaking is not my thing, so I write things down so that when I'm up here, if I forget, I can just read. So excuse me if I read. The first thing is I was raised as a Christian in the Catholic faith and believed in God as the triune God that we all here believed the same thing today. However, that's not the first thing. That's the half a thing. The first thing is, believe it or not, between the age of 15 and 20, I was a full-blown alcoholic and a bit of a drug addict. I then got sober through Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not exactly sure why I was drunk for 5 years, but that's exactly what happened. I drank heavily and smoked a lot of pot for 5 years and was in a really bad way when I found AA. I was both mentally and physically really unwell. And that's the truth. It seems like a lifetime ago, but that was me at the age of 20. So, the second thing is that after 10 years of sobriety, I then joined the police service. So they obviously didn't know all my past. And I never got caught, so I was able to join. I can vividly recall being at the police academy and just freaking out. And I don't know why, I don't think we had mobile phones, I'm not sure. We should have had mobile phones then. But I rang on one of those phones that are on the wall. They had, yeah, landline, but it was on the wall outside, wall like line. A public phone.
A wall line.
Yeah. And I rang my sponsor and I'm like, I can't handle this. You don't understand what it's like. There's cops everywhere. And he said, what do you expect? I went, oh, yeah, true. So anyway, but somehow I got through it, and I served for 16 years until I was medically retired in 2021. At the end of my service, I was again in really poor health, and this time it was through burnout and PTSD. I was told that I would never work again as a police officer or any career similar, and some doctors thought that I would never actually work again at all. Also, through my time in the police service, my faith in God remained. However, I started to doubt that Jesus is in fact God and started thinking of him as just a really good bloke and that we are all like him, God's kids. I kind of, my perception changed. I don't know why, but I never stopped believing in God through that time, because when you're a cop, you have to pray. Because sometimes they ask you to do things and you think, God help me. That's the answer to that one.
Excellent. See, I told you I'd be good. So you're now a chaplain at Karama. How did that come about?
Okay, so sorry for those who were here Sunday night. It's pretty much the same version. Basically, the first thing I should mention is that I never actually really wanted to be a chaplain. I never thought I could actually do it. I've been a Christian since 2019, and the pastor at that church that I joined really encouraged me to do Bible college. The options were Cert 4 in chaplaincy or Cert 4 in ministry, and I chose ministry because I really felt like I could never actually be a chaplain. I did this course whilst I was still living on the Sunshine Coast. So basically, because of health reasons and because the Sunshine Coast was getting quite crowded, I decided to move to Stanthorpe, and that was in 2023. Before I moved here, I looked for job advertisements and saw the ad for Stanthorpe Aged Care, which is owned and run by Churches of Christ. I saw that the mission statement for Churches of Christ was, at that time, shining the light of Christ into communities. Being a new Christian, I immediately just loved that mission statement and just wanted to be involved in anything to do with shining the light of Christ. Anyway, I interviewed for a cleaning position, so I started there as a cleaner, and then after about 2 weeks I was moved into administration, and I was working rosters, answering phones, putting on lipstick, that sort of thing. No, I was like a receptionist basically. So I remember once I'm sitting there at the reception and a bloke walks in and goes, a man. Like, he couldn't believe a bloke was sitting at the reception, because I don't know, stereotyping. Thought that should be a girl's job. Us blokes can do girls' jobs. Anyway, so I didn't mind administration, and I also liked supporting staff, because a lot of it was involved with staff, filling rosters and making sure everyone had enough shifts and that sort of thing. However, I was also discovering that I really enjoyed the company of and conversations with elderly residents. I worked only 3 days a fortnight with aged care and felt like I could do more. I would see the aged care chaplain at the time coming and going, and I really liked his passion for the elderly. I could really see the value in his role and what he does. However, I also felt like he could do with some help, and I thought maybe I could be some sort of chaplain for the staff to ease a bit of his workload. So I went to the service manager, told her my great idea, put it in writing. She thought it was a good idea, but the people above her said no. And then the chaplain resigned. It was all a bit unexpected. So when he resigned, I was kind of, what are we going to do? And I went into the service manager's office and I said, well, what's going on? What happened? What are we going to do? We need a chaplain. That's really important. And I'm going on about it, and she basically looked at me and said, well, that could be you. And I wasn't considering that at all. And the reason why I wasn't thinking I could do it had a lot to do with my PTSD. So I mean that I thought that I could look after staff maybe 2 or 3 days a week, but I was nervous about the idea of looking after seniors full-time, you know, like a full-time job, of listening and the challenges that come with caring for people that are basically dying. Like, I didn't think I could do it. Anyway, we talked some more about it, and I looked into it and I discovered it wasn't full time. I only had to work 4 days a week. And I also discovered that the minimum requirement was a cert for in chaplaincy or ministry, plus previous experience as a chaplain. So I didn't have the previous experience as a chaplain, but I had the cert for. Anyway, so I prayed a lot and I ended up getting the job. I don't think anybody else applied. Maybe that's why I got it, I'm not sure. But I firmly believe God wanted me to get that job. So, yeah.
So how did you know it was God? Because you said earlier, I had this idea, and then I thought, how did you know it was God?
The reason why I believe it's God was because I wasn't fully qualified, and yet I got the job, basically. He opened the door. And also, now that I have the job, I've found that I'm really suited to it. I do have the ability to be able to just walk up to people, say hello, and most of the time I can connect with them. And I really enjoy, the other thing I really enjoy is listening to the stories, especially the stories of people who've lived a long life. You know, I just love it. And also, I can relate to that feeling of helplessness and being in a place where the future is uncertain, because I've been there, and that's what it's like for a lot of people in aged care. Yeah, they're basically quite unwell and they're basically knocking on heaven's door, to be honest. And I find it easy to empathise with that. You know, I can empathise with it. I'm not there, but I understand, sort of. So it doesn't scare me at all, knowing that yes, they're going to die soon, because I also know they're going to be at peace in heaven. And I love that I am now in a unique position to help renew a person's faith and remind them that God loves them no matter what. And that's something I say a lot. God loves you no matter what, you know. Don't worry about anything. God loves you. I also get to work with people who have incredible faith in God, and I get to walk alongside them in their last days on earth, learning from them and encouraging them. And that's what happens as well. We've got people in there that have just got amazing stories. They've been missionaries, you know, and I get to learn from those people, you know. So it's pretty unique. So that, I think that answers that question.
Yeah. So most of us know when God leads us into something, there's always at least one thing that tries to stop it from happening. Yeah. Did that happen for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't want to do it for starters. But and the fear was around my past illness, just with the PTSD and the burnout. I was very tired, basically. I don't like the saying, but a lot of people go, oh, I'm sick of people, I'm tired of people. But that was where I was kind of at. I didn't have much energy for people, and I knew that being a chaplain meant having a lot of energy for people. And that kept coming in my head, you can't do this, you got no energy, you know, you don't like people. And I just had to keep rejecting that thought. You know, I had to keep reminding myself that I'm well, I'm a lot better, I'm not completely cured, but I can manage my symptoms, and I have to make honest evaluation of myself that I am okay. The other thing that played on my mind was dealing with death in aged care. But I've found that it's not like the death I used to deal with as a copper. It's actually quite peaceful in a lot of ways. It is sad for the family and for those of us that love the person that's passed. But for most cases, it's expected. And sometimes it's welcomed, because their quality of life is really quite poor. So death in aged care is mostly quite a peaceful thing, if that makes sense. And I think that's been good for me to see that side of it, rather than the sudden, unexpected, traumatic side. I'm seeing people live a full life, you know, and die with their loved ones around them. It's quite nice. It's not scary. It doesn't trigger me. It's no issue, sort of thing. Yeah.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
What have you learned about God's leading through this and your chaplain role?
Pretty much the same as Jamie. You just sort of, you got to say yes. What I've basically learned is that God shows up. That's basically what I've learned. If I feel a prompting towards something, and I think it's a God thing, and I just turn up, God shows up. Yeah. I've got a couple of examples. So when I got the job, I remember saying to the manager, I said, "Look, the only thing that really puts me off, that I'm not okay with, that I'm scared of, is doing a funeral, just because how important a funeral is." And he said, "Yeah, well, that'll be part of your role, and you'll do a funeral, and it'll be no problems." And I'm like, "No, that scares me." Anyway, I was only probably a month in, and one of our residents passed away. And at the time, the family were saying, "Oh, we want Michael to do the funeral." So the staff told me, "They're asking for you to do the funeral." And I'm like, "Oh, no." So I'm preparing for this funeral, but hadn't been contacted by the family, thinking, anyway, so I'm trying to prepare for it. I'm freaking out. And then I get a call from the family to say, "Oh, we've changed our mind. You don't have to do the funeral. We just want you to speak." And I thought, "Oh, cool. That's a bit easier than doing the whole thing." Yeah. Anyway, we turn up. It was at a very big venue here in town. There was a lot of people there, and I'm nervous. And as I walk in, the lady that's running it says, "You're not going to talk for too long, are you?" And all this sort of thing. And I'm like, "Oh, just leave me alone. I'm already nervous enough." And I sat down. I was told where to sit. You got to sit there. So I sat there, and this bloke wouldn't shut up. He was just a nice bloke. And I mean that in a nice way. Like, he just wouldn't stop talking. And it just took my mind off the whole thing. And then I've got to go up there and talk. And it was fine. Like, there was no nerves, and I don't know. So that was like God easing me into the funeral business, I guess. So if I'm asked to do it again, I know God will turn up. The next scary job was the combined church event. Another thing I have as part of my symptoms is a fear of being in crowds. And the combined church thing was huge. We rocked up, me and Julie, and we'd had a rough day because we built a shed from China made out of plastic. So there'd been a little bit of, you know, arguing and, "No, this screw goes here," and that's, you know. So I was actually feeling a bit cranky by the end of the day and thinking, "I'm not going to be able to go up there and look like a God person. I'm going to be cranky." So we pull up and the place is packed. And I said, "Do a Yui, we're out of here." And she said, and I've never heard her do this. She said, "No, get out of the bloody car and get into it," you know. So, and if anyone knows Julie, she doesn't say much, but when she does, you don't forget it. So I got out of the car and just, I don't know. I sat there and the worship music was different to what we normally have here. It was really loud and I just really got into it. And I think that just took my mind off everything, and I just knew I'd be right. Like, I just felt like I'd be right. And like Jamie was saying, that's God just sort of shows up. You feel it in your heart and you just feel okay. Then the other one was, there's another experience as well that was really quite special. And there's a lot of these experiences when you're working with aged care. So I'm out the front foyer of the place, and one of the family members of one of the residents comes in and says, "Oh, do you know such and such? Apparently they're unwell. I know some friends. They want me to go visit this person, and they want me to pray for them as well." I went, "Let's do it." So we go up there, and I know this person, but I don't know what his faith is at all, because the only thing he never wanted to talk about ever with me was anything to do with God or church. Like, just would shut me down. talked about everything else, but not that. So we go up to this person's room, and the family member starts talking about the connection and who she knows and he knows, and no expression whatsoever on this person's face, like none whatsoever. And that's quite common because he was in what they call palliative or end of life. Pretty much all they're doing is breathing, but they can't show any emotion. Anyway, we got to the point where, all the introductions were done, and I felt like she was forgetting about the prayer idea, which is what I was excited about. I said, the other thing is, we've been asked to pray for you. And he smiled, like wow. Really smiled. And then people came in, so we weren't able to pray then and there, but there was just this big smile on his face, and we went our separate ways. And then I grabbed a resident and her later, and we went down to our room and we prayed for him. And he died a couple of days later. And I like to hope and believe that he's in heaven now, you know, like just a little prompting, something. Yeah. I feel like that was a God thing. Like normally you'd be like, oh, is this going to be okay because they don't really know each other? But they did know each other. They just forgot that they knew each other. And everything was fine. You know, it was definitely a God thing. Yeah. So, and that happens a lot. Sometimes our residents get cranky, which is, you know, if you've lived a certain way your whole life where you've been quite physically well, and all of a sudden you're stuck in a chair or, you know, you've got these limitations, you're going to get cranky on occasions. And I like to go target those folks and say good day and smile at them. And and then if they let me pray for them, it's amazing, the effect. It's like giving them a shot of Valium, you know, they're good for an hour or so. Not that I'm encouraging Valium here, you know. I'm trying to explain what happens. So they go from cranky to just calm and happy, and and that's basically what happens. And yeah, they're good for hours. And a lot of the times there's tears, not just from me, from them too. And it's a very, I think what it is, it's something very kind. You know, even if they don't believe and you pray for somebody, it's a kindness that they're experiencing, which they need, you know. And that's kind of my theme as a chaplain, to be kind, really kind. Yeah. And I encourage the staff. The staff are brilliant. They're not Christians, but they're kind. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's it. All these experiences are just... So in summary, all those experiences are just God showing up. If I'm willing and I give it a whirl... God just shows up.
Right. So we've got Jamie that said, trust him. And so for you, it's about step out and he'll show up. Would that be about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, which is pretty much the same as trusting.
Yeah.
It is. I kind of know now. It's gone beyond the thought of trust. It's just I know. You know, I know it's going to be okay. If God wants me to do something and I just start doing it, it's going to be okay most of the time. Doesn't mean I don't prepare or have some, I have to look after myself as well, make sure I get enough rest and that sort of thing. But yeah, trust is definitely.
Excellent. Yeah. I've got a feeling there might be a theme God's telling us this morning. Thank you so much, Michael. Thanks. If you want to clap, you can. All right. Now, this shouldn't surprise anybody that has been under my worship leading. I forgot offering. So we'll just have a bit of a break while those that are taking up the offering could do that. That would be great. And I'm just going to hope somebody steps up and volunteers to do it. Thank you. Thanks for doing that, guys. Let's just pray for the offering as we're finishing. Father God, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We thank you that as we look as where you lead, we remember that you provide where you lead. Father, we ask that you take this small token of everything that you've given us. Give us wisdom in how to use it for the building of your kingdom. In your precious name, amen.